We're in a point in our gospel narrative series where the gospel parables are getting challenging, and they're almost a little confusing. And Christ tells us that he purposely makes his parables a little bit confusing and challenging. They are purposely over the top and often exaggerated. And not everything in Christ's parables have an easy one-to-one ratio that this is what this is. Now, some things we know what they are. When we hear a parable where there's a king and there's a son, we can know that the king is God the Father and that the son is Jesus the Son. And using the passage from Isaiah, we can know and understand that when they talk about a feast, that they're talking about the feast of the Son, the banquet in heaven that we have with our Lord Christ and God the Father. But what we're going to use to help us understand this parable is the phrase that Jesus uses to wrap up the entire thing, which is, many are invited, few are chosen. Or, many are called, few are chosen. What does this mean? Well, the king has a feast ready. It's a feast to give honor and glory to his son. It's a wedding feast, and this feast has everything that you could possibly want at a feast to have. And everything is ready. There's nothing you have to do. You just have to receive the invite and come and be fed. And so the king sends servants out to call and to invite guests to this meal. Three different times servants are sent out. The first time servants go out, people just simply wouldn't come. They just didn't come. And so the king reminds his servants, you know, tell them, everything's ready. And so he sends his servants out once again to extend the invitation, extend the call. And this time, people do kind of one of two things. They either pay no attention to the invitation, they go back to their work, farming, or to their place of business. Or surprisingly, they turn violent against those giving the invitation. They kill them, they beat them, the king's servants. And so the third time that the king sends out the invite, he extends the invitation to absolutely everyone. All are invited. Good and bad alike, all are invited to come to this feast. And that's our first point. And the kids understood this well too. Who's invited to the feast that is eternal life, that is life with God through Jesus Christ? Everyone is invited. Everyone is called to this thing. Remember our passage in Isaiah. However, there's the second part of that saying that Christ gives us at the end. Many are called or invited. Few are chosen. Twice in this parable, the king reacts against those who refuse the invitation of the wedding feast. And the first time, he brings out his wrath, his vengeance upon those who were violent against his own servants as they refused to come to the wedding. And the point here is that the king essentially in this declares that these people, by their refusal and their rejection to come to this feast, they're not worthy to be there in the first place. They don't deserve to come. They have dishonored the king. They have dishonored the son in which the feast was meant to glorify him. They have dishonored him. And by their dishonor, by their rejection, therefore they are not worthy to come. They are not worthy of the feast. In the second time, we see the rejection from the king himself. A man is found in the feast. It's when all the people are gathered there. The feast is about to take place. The king looks about at his guests, and he sees that there's one person who's not wearing the right clothing. Now, this is one of those times in a parable where we might want to look and try to piece together what is the right clothing to be wearing. And if we go down that path, you're going to go down a rabbit hole. It's impossible to figure out. But what we do know is that by the man's choice of not wearing the proper clothing, he has somehow dishonored and not given proper glory due to the Son, to the King, and the feast in which he has been invited to. And so the result is that this person, too, is essentially deemed unworthy and deemed not deserving to be there. And so our second point is, again, all are invited, but some who are invited, some who are called, will show themselves to be not worthy, to be not deserving by the rejection of the invitation, the rejection of the king, and the feast of the Son. They have rejected the worship owed to the Son, who is, of course, Jesus Christ. So we should look at this passage in two ways. First, as a warning. Because what might this look like for us? The reality is the gospel first, I guess, that you have all been called. You have all been invited to this feast in heaven. You have received this call, this invitation in baptism. You've received this call in the preaching of the word, whether it's my word or Pastor Hankelman's before him or the word of some preacher on TV. You have received this word in preaching. You have received this word in Sunday school. I know some of you have talked about how you used to have these Sunday school teachers that would say certain things to you, and you still remember their lessons. You have received this invitation in Sunday school. You've received it in youth group. You've received it from your parents, from your friends. The bottom line is you have been called, invited to a life of faith, and as such, you are invited to the wedding feast of the Son. But the fact that you have been invited, it's not always a guarantee against the spiritual dangers that surround us. The things that could harden our hearts and slowly pull us away from our Lord and Savior, and putting us into a place where all of a sudden we are rejecting that call. That can be a little confusing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a part of our baptism service to you, because this part of our baptism service that we find in our green hymnals gets to this point. It's the part where we as parents are promising certain things to our children, and we're promising these things so that our children, as they grow in years, will continue to live a life of faith and not to reject their Savior. As parents, when we brought our children to be baptized, we've made this promise that in Christian love, you, not only in presenting this child for holy baptism, you will therefore bring them faithfully to the Lord's services, bringing them to church, bringing them to Sunday school. You're going to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, the things, the words of our faith. These are what we're teaching our kids. And so as they grow in their years, you're going to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures. the words of life. You're going to provide for their instruction in Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, they may lead godly lives until the day of Jesus Christ. And if you have brought your child to this church and have used this service, you are then asked, do you promise to fulfill these obligations? And you probably said, I do, or we do. This gets to the point of this warning in this passage. We have all been invited to this banquet. But sin and our sinful nature, the things in our lives, want to pull us away from that invitation, want us to cause to reject that invitation, which is essentially to reject preaching, it's to reject the scriptures, it's to reject your baptism, it's to reject Jesus. And the road to that rejection is often a slow, unnoticeable one. And so we come before the Lord in worship to receive the sacrament, to hear the preaching, to come to Bible study. We bring our kids to Sunday school so that we can continue to lead godly lives, lives that are assured against the rejection of the invitation. The invitation is given to all. Scripture tells us that our Lord desires that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. And this life is something that the Son has earned for you by winning forgiveness for you on the cross. He has sent His Spirit to guide you and comfort you in leading a godly life. He gives us His body and blood to nourish us, almost like an appetizer on our way to the heavenly feast. And He has given us His salvation. You are worthy to attend the feast because Christ has made you worthy. You are worthy to receive the call because Christ has made you worthy. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, guard us against the dangers of this world that would threaten to pull us away, to harden our hearts against the invitation to the wedding feast of the Son. Guide us by your Spirit, nourish us by the sacrament, keep our ears open to the preaching and reading of your word, that we might continue every day to live in repentance and to live in the promises of our baptism. We pray this in your name. Amen.